Hi, this is Glenn Williams, Vice President and Group Editor of Neurology Reviews. I'm speaking today with Dr. Morris Levin, who is a professor of neurology and psychiatry at the Geisel School of Medicine and co-director of the Dartmouth Headache Center at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. We're going to be talking today about the current debate over opioid use for headache. Dr. Levin, can you give us some background on why this topic is so timely and controversial?
Prior to the late 80s, opioid pain medications were used very rarely for people with anything other than cancer pain, you know, and so they were sort of put in the category of treatments for pain for people who had terminal diseases, and they were very rarely used. They were heavily regulated. When it was seen by pharmacists and others that a particular physician or particular prescriber was prescribing opioids, this was a kind of a red flag, and it just wasn't done that much. And then, in the late 1980s, several people, including Russ Portnoy and Kathleen Foley and others, promoted the idea that there were many patients who did have pain, serious pain, but not of a terminal nature, and they were not being adequately treated for that pain. And they proposed the idea that opioids like Demerol and Vicodin and, you know, all of the pain meds you know about should be used judiciously for these patients. And to back that up, they purported to have evidence that patients like this could be treated with opioids and not develop tolerance, not develop addiction, and maintain a stable dosage even on a daily basis. And this was not only a good idea for these types of non-cancer pain patients, but it would be cruel in a way to deprive them of this type of treatment. So it almost became a movement. It was a movement, I think. And you either had to get on this on the wagon with this movement, or you were considered somebody who really wasn't current. And articles kept coming out with titles like, I can't remember, but to the effect that it was actually unprofessional and non-compassionate to withhold opioids from patients with pain for things like rheumatoid arthritis and chronic headaches, chronic back pain, chronic neck pain, and so on. And a lot of people who were in the minority kept questioning this whole approach, kept questioning the idea that tolerance would not develop and escalation of dose might happen and addiction might happen and so on. And I, at the time, was treating a lot of headache patients and finding that some of them were just completely intractable to the usual treatment. And I would occasionally start these patients on daily opioids because of this movement, because of this literature supporting that kind of thing. And I had not very good luck. And I had the good fortune to have trained with Joel Saper, who in the late 80s was also starting to do this with some of his very difficult headache patients and seeing some good results. But he actually systematically studied this and found out that very few really had long-lasting benefits from daily opioid treatment for their intractable headaches. At the same time, I was noticing that virtually all the patients I treated in this way with daily opioids, even in very controlled ways and very organized settings, did not do nearly as well as I hoped. They mostly developed some degree of tolerance, if not a lot of tolerance, some degree of addiction and drug-seeking behavior and so on. So I really stepped away from that whole area and used fewer and fewer opioids for pain. Not that I completely abandoned opioids for headache pain entirely, but I really, really went away from it. And so at the same time, sort of in the late 90s and then early part of the 2000s, new literature began appearing about the societal problems of increased prescription opioid abuse, increased deaths due to prescription opioid overuse, increased numbers of ER admissions for opioid addiction and withdrawal, and so on. And it became pretty clear that this movement that had begun, and it really was like a religious movement in a way, had actually done a lot more harm than good. And many of the people that promoted this, I think, are now, just in the last couple of years, starting to say that they may have made some serious blunders and have sort of recanted their ideas about opioid use. So that's what led to this debate at the AAN, where we debated whether or not opioids even had a place in the treatment of difficult headache patients. So there's the background.
Okay, so in migraine, there also seems to be an issue of chronicity. Opioids hasten the transformation of episodic migraine to chronic migraine. Was that addressed in the debate?
Yeah, I addressed that. There are a certain number of patients who progress, who chronify, as they say. It's just kind of hard to predict who they will be, but there are a number of risk factors for chronification, and one of the major risk factors is the excessive use of pain medications, including opioids. So yes, they have been shown to either hasten this progression, make it more likely, make it more difficult. So that's another reason to be extremely judicious in the use of opioids and probably not to use them on a frequent basis ever.
And I think from a patient management perspective, while the emergency room is the worst place for a migraine patient to end up, when they do end up there, do they often receive opioids?
They may. This varies from emergency room to emergency room, but I think the trend in emergency medicine is really away from opioids for headache pain for a couple of reasons. The first being that they don't work that well, and high doses are usually required, and then the concomitant sedation and altered mental status is difficult for patients in the ER, difficult for them to go home, for example. But the other problem, and this is a big one, and many ER docs in my area have shared this with me, patients may do better, may feel better, but then they bounce back to the ER several hours later when the opioid wears off.
Okay, so in the debate that was held at the AAN about whether there was any place at all for opioids in the management of headache, was there a consensus?
I think so. At these debates, there was no formal audience vote or tally of points made like a boxing match. But I think most of the participants and audience members felt that if there is a place for opioids in the treatment of refractory or chronic headaches, it's a very small one and should be employed by people with a lot of experience and with a lot of safeguards in place. And so I think I showed in a chart a very thin sliver of a pie chart where I thought opioids might be appropriate.
In very selected patients.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you include in your evaluation a psychological profile as well as a medical?
That's a good thought. And yes, I think that'd be a lot of help. I think it the psychological overlay of addiction and addictive behavior can sometimes be overemphasized. But yeah, it'd be a great thing to have some background. And, you know, good practitioners don't need any particular tools to do this. They just need a very good interview, an assessment of the system that patients are in, family systems, you know, et cetera, school work systems, so that they understand all the pressures on people and then those patients' prior history with prescription meds.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, but I think it's a great topic to keep thinking about. And not only are there individual issues and, you know, societal issues that I alluded to with these increasing negative consequences to prescription opioids, but there are some very interesting neuroscientific elements of this, because we're learning a lot more each year about these very complicated nociceptive, that's the medical word for pain systems in the brain and neural systems that might explain why opioids really aren't that useful. Because in fact, opioids in a lot of ways promote pain, and which is a sort of a bizarre discovery that's been made. But they actually support these pathways in the nervous system called pronociceptive pathways. So that's another angle with which to view this whole process, and kind of interesting from a scientific view.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for calling.